Thank you, and we're happy and grateful, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God, as we find it in the Word of God, the Bible. How could the Bible continue as the world's all-time bestseller if it didn't hold a vital interest for people of all kinds and ages and races? Now, we try to demonstrate at Bible time every week that the Bible is for you, and it's our desire to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. So why don't you make it a point, make it a habit, do something to remind yourself to tune in to Bible time every week at this time. Now then, I'd like to read to you two very important verses from Paul's great letter to the Galatians. Please listen very carefully. As many as are of the works of the law, that is, who live by the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, and so on. Those who think they'll be acceptable to God by keeping the law, as many as are of the works of the law, he says, are under the curse. For it is written, that is in the Bible, God says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? But listen to verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for it is written, this is again what God says about it, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So he took for us the curse of the broken law, and this is what I want to speak to you about in this broadcast. Now, in this ministry at Berean Bible Society, my friends, we receive letters again and again and again about the law. Just this past week, somebody asked, don't you have to keep the law to be saved? Many religious leaders say yes, but God's Word answers with a clear, emphatic no. And on this, the basis of this, I want you to listen again very carefully to Galatians 3, verses 10 and 13. Verse 10 says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, that is, God says in his word, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Then in verse 13 he tells how Christ has redeemed us from this terrible curse. Beloved, it is the function of the law to condemn, not to justify. Get that straight, please. Obviously, if everybody did what was right and good and kind, we wouldn't need laws, would we? That's why 1 Timothy 1, verse 9 says, the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. The function of the law is to put the finger on sin and condemn it and sentence it to judgment. And you don't have to break the whole law to be a lawbreaker. James 2:10 says, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. Doesn't that make sense? How many links do you have to break in a chain to break the chain? All of them? No, just one. How many people do you have to rob to be a robber? Just one. How many houses do you have to set on fire to be guilty of arson? Just one. How many murders do you have to commit to be a murderer? Just one. Well, how many sins do you have to commit then to be a sinner? Just one. A woman said to me some time ago, I'm not a sinner, just because she hadn't broken all the Ten Commandments. Oh, no, just one sin, my friend, makes you a sinner. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of breaking God's law. Now, just one sin ruined this earth, and in most people's mind it wouldn't have been a very bad one either, but it was disobedience to God. And do you think for a moment that God will let you into heaven and let you spoil his heaven lets you enter in as a sinful human being. That's why our only hope is in trusting Christ, who died to pay the penalty for all our sins. Do you remember the story of Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim in old Palestine? You see, to enter Canaan, the Israelites had to go between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And to teach them an important lesson, God had two companies of Levites stand, one on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, and one on Mount Ebal to curse. He had them place two large stones with the law written on them, and the Levites on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, were to pronounce curses upon those who disobeyed the law. In Deuteronomy 27, where the story is told, you have a long list of these curses. Cursed is everyone that does this, and not one that does that, and those that do this and that. And cursed are those who don't do this and that. Well, this is why, in Galatians 3:10, Paul quotes from this same chapter, the 27th of Deuteronomy and verse 27, when he says, "As many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." You see, when God gave the law, he said in Exodus 19:5, "If you obey my voice indeed and keep this covenant, then you'll be my special people." But you can't just choose what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep. Remember the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "What shall I do to be saved and or to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Well, what does the law say?" This man was careful about the law. He said, "What's the law say?" "Well, don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery," and so on. Well, the Lord says, "Do it, and you'll live." Oh, he may have felt that he kept the law pretty well. Oh, but he didn't. Obviously, none of us has perfectly kept the law of God. So that the apostle says, if you're trying to be saved by keeping the law, you're under the curse of God. That's why Paul goes on to say in verse 11, Galatians 3:11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For, and then he quotes another passage of Scripture, Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. In fact, he uses this verse several times in his epistle, the just shall live or gain life by faith, by believing. This was the great verse that shook Martin Luther's theology to its foundations. It had such a profound effect upon his life that he had it woven into the napkins at his table, into the pillows about the house. He had it inscribed on his dishes, and even woven into the cuffs of his sleeves, so that when he sat down to read or write, he'd see those wonderful words, "The just shall live by faith, by believing." Now, if life is to be had by faith, clearly it is not to be gained by the works of the law. If it's to be received as a gift, it is not going to be payment for labor or for effort. This is why the apostle goes on further in verse 12 of Galatians 3. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them, here he quotes another passage of Scripture, Leviticus 18:5, the man that doeth them shall live by them. Well, verses 11 and 12 together that we should read now, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For God says the just shall live by faith, by believing. Now, the law is not of faith, but, God says, the man that doeth them shall live by them. And that's true. You do the law. You obey it completely and perfectly and continuously. You'll live. You'll have everlasting life. But you can't do it, and you haven't done it. That's why Romans 4:4 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." If you offer me a gift and I say, no, let me do something. Well, let me shine your car. I'll wax your car for you. Well, that wouldn't be a gift anymore, would it? I'd have been hired to wax your car instead of just in faith, believing that you wanted to give me a gift and receiving it. Well, so clearly we have to make a choice. Beloved, if you want to be saved or justified by the law, you must keep it all perfectly and continuously. The man who has to make an extreme case just to explain this, the man who's murdered somebody, might rush out to the policeman and say, "Honestly, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I've learned my lesson. I'm so sorry I did it." That doesn't change the fact that he murdered somebody. He's got to go to court and be tried and condemned to death or whatever for his deed. And it's the same with the law of God. You can say, "Oh, I'm so sorry for the laws I broke, and I'm going to try to do better, and really I didn't break very many laws." That doesn't make any difference. If you want to be saved, justified by keeping the law, you must keep it all perfectly, all the time, or be under God's curse, the curse of a broken law. If you see you can't do this, beloved, there's only one alternative for salvation. You must trust in Christ who died for our sins. He's the one who kept the law perfectly all the time, yet died as a lawbreaker for you and for me. That's why 1 Peter 3:18 says, "Christ also himself once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." And chapter 2, verse 24, "He himself bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Colossians 2:14 describes the Lord Jesus blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us. Now he has here a picture of the cross, and he says there he was blotting out the handwriting of decrees, of laws, of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Well, that brings us to verse 13 of Galatians 3. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for it is written." Here he quotes the scriptures again, Deuteronomy 21:23. "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." The one who broke certain laws, capital punishment laws of the Old Testament, was taken out and hanged. He hung on a tree. Well, Christ died for us. He died as a lawbreaker, but he did it to redeem us from the curse of the law. He took the curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Now, it's this Paul who says in Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." In verse 19 he says, "So then, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified," not in God's sight. And then 21, he's the first one to say this, but now, this had not been before. They had been under the law. God had tried them by the law. And it was only when they said, "Oh Lord, we can't keep this. Be merciful to us. And keep the promise you've made to Abraham, who was counted righteous for just believing," they were saved. But God had the law in function for 1,500 years to show men historically that they could not keep it. So now, after the message of the 12 had been refused, Christ the King and his kingdom had been refused, God raised up the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, and saved him by grace, and sent him forth as the great apostle of grace. And now it is Paul who says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Do you believe it, my friend? If you don't, you don't believe God's word about it, for this is what you'll find in Romans 3:21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." The law and the prophets had to bear witness and say, "Yes, this is righteousness indeed." In verse 24 of Romans 3, "being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 26, "We declare, I say, at this time," you see there's that "but now" again, "we declare, I say, at this time, God's righteousness." We're not demanding righteousness. We're offering you salvation by what God righteously did with sin at Calvary. "We declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and, at the same time, the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus," period. Oh, I'm so glad he doesn't say there, "he that believeth in Jesus and repents and is baptized and does good works from now on." No. "We declare, I say," here's where rightly dividing the word of truth comes in, beloved. Here's where it's so important. "We declare, I say, at this time, God's righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? I love this next phrase. It is excluded. Where is boasting? It is excluded. Wouldn't it be just too bad if after we got to heaven, there would be even one person there putting his thumb in his vest and saying, "I'll tell you how I got here." Wouldn't he be a bore, and heaven wouldn't be heaven, beloved? By grace are ye saved, through faith, through believing, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is not going to have boasters in heaven. We're going to boast about our wonderful Savior. Now then, the 28th verse of Romans 3, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Isn't it wonderful that when you're saved, you don't try to keep the law or please God to get anything from him? You try to please him because you've been saved. That's why I try to keep the precepts that God would have me obey, that the righteousness of the law, Paul says, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't do good to get anything from him. We do good because he's done so much for us. Now then, in closing, back to Galatians 3, let's get the whole picture by just reading parts of this passage very simply. Verse 6, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Verse 9, "So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful believing Abraham." Verse 10, "For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them." But then verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us." I love that hymn by James Proctor. "I've tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My soul is night, my heart is steel. I cannot see, I cannot feel. For light, for life, I must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and deeds. There's all the guilty sinner needs forevermore in Jesus. Though some should sneer and some should blame, I'll go with all my guilt and shame. I'll go to him, because his name above all names is Jesus. And you know the word Jesus is Savior. Ah, I trust that you have just believed the word of God about it, that Christ became a curse, took the curse upon himself so that we might be delivered from the judgment of a broken law and might be saved for all eternity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now the time is flying, but thanks to all you who are helping us in the work. Thanks to you all for listening, and may God's richest blessing be yours.